This podcast is part of the Dark Myths Collective. Visit darkmyths.org to discover more shows like this one. The darkness awaits.
Hello, and welcome to the Not Alone podcast. I'm Sam Fredrickson.
And I'm confused. Hey, everyone, it's Jason.
It's the spookiest month of the year.
Okay.
Ooh,
I'm a little creeped out.
I was trying to make it.
Yeah.
I started trying to say, oh, I'm going to sound like real classy, snazzy, and then I realized I sounded like a ghoul. And so I kind of upplayed the ghoul.
Yeah,
pivoted. Yeah. Welcome to Spooktober. We don't have big plans for Spooktober. Well, we do have one big plan, which we'll talk about in a minute. But really quick, before we get any further in here, some of you are going to be confused because what you're about to hear is a Jason special. It's a Jason special. I don't know what the special is. Jason hasn't told me. Jason claims that he doesn't know what the special is, but I have to hope and believe that he's lying to me.
I've got a couple things
written down.
Funny.
Okay, good. We are not going to be able to get to part three of the Gulf Breeze UFO incident right now. Ideally, it'll be sometime in the future. Rob has had to put his show on hiatus, and you can check out the Our Strange Skies Twitter feed, Facebook feed, and all of that for more information there if you so desire. But that just translates into us saying, well, part three is going to be a little while, which is fine because part one and two was actually pretty much the whole story.
Yeah.
And then part three was going to be like the hypnotic regression and like other stuff, but you still got the meat and bones of it. So with that in mind, we are now in Spooktober.
Yes.
The spookiest month of the year. Jason, what traditions do you have during Spooktober?
Oh, dear. I don't actually have a lot of traditions. Of course, I'm a big fan of dressing up and pretending to be someone who I'm not.
Well,
like every day.
Yeah, I was going to say, but do you do anything for Halloween?
You know, as a family growing up, we did a whole lot more than I do now that I live apart from my parents. Mm. But pretty classic stuff like hay mazes, things like that.
Still going out trick-or-treating at 25.
Hey, man, that's the one benefit of being 5'9",
there
and everyone
go.
Else around me is like 6'2".
It's true. If I shaved my face, you couldn't tell me that I wasn't older than 16. Like, yeah, it's crazy.
I can still do it.
The only like hard and fast tradition we have, and it's one that I forged myself, and I said I'm making this a thing regardless of what anybody else wants from me, and that is that every October, I watch Over the Garden Wall. Have you ever seen Over the Garden Wall?
Maybe. I don't
It's
recall.
Amazing. It's a like 8-part miniseries. It was on Cartoon Network. It's got Elijah Wood in it. And it's about these two brothers.
It was on Cartoon Network?
Mm-hmm.
Was it animated?
Yeah, it's an
animated.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. And it's about these two brothers like wandering through the forest trying to find their way home while being pursued by a vicious and evil beast that's like made up of like 100 different faces all stitched together. It's
that
super
horrible.
It's super
that
dark and creepy.
Horrible.
It's amazing.
And I might try to watch Hocus Pocus.
The writing in it is like so original
person.
That I swore that they were like taking stuff from Grimm's fairy tales or something. It was just so imaginative.
So not original.
Well, I just mean that it's like so imaginative.
It has a whimsical
feel
to
so
it.
Unique.
Okay.
Yeah, that I couldn't believe that they hadn't pulled from something already established. I couldn't believe someone could create something that good, and they did. So it's on Hulu for anybody who wants to watch it. It takes about 2 hours all in all. It is
8 episodes, you said?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay,
that's
not bad.
8 or 9. It's awesome. And it's totally like kid friendly. I mean, it was on Cartoon Network. It's not like a stupid kid show, but I love cartoons. I don't know about you. I'm not going to defend myself. Whatever. I love cartoons. So that's my only tradition. Katie and I used to try to have like big Halloween parties, and then they were just stressful and we didn't have very much fun. So if
I just go out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah, if people are like, hey, we're doing this thing, then we'll go. If not, sometimes, like a year ago, I think we had just some people over to watch The Twilight Zone, and that was fun. So
sweet. Yeah, yeah. Twilight Zone would be cool.
Anyway, because it's Spooktober,
mm-hmm.
we do have one other tradition, a not alone tradition, and oh, that dear. Is that the last show in Spooktober is a listener special. Now, if you are up to date on the show, this really shouldn't surprise you, because I announced this at the prelude to last, or not last week, 2 weeks ago episode, part two of the Spooky Encounters. What was it? Go freeze UFO incident. I announced that already. I'm going to go ahead and just really quick before we get into it, I'm going to announce again, we are doing another listener special this year. We are requesting that if you're going to record yourself saying your story, that your story be like 7 minutes or less. If it's longer, you can still send it to us and we'll make a decision there. But just know that it's less likely to be included if you can't keep it under 7 minutes. You can also just write it out and we can read it. Or you can tell us the bare basics and then we can just discuss the bare basics as well. We are setting up a different email account to send them to because I don't want them getting buried under all the spam mail that we get to the, not like spam from listeners, but spam from like, I saw you buy a microphone. Do you want to buy 4 more microphones? Sort of a thing that I get at the Not Alone Podcast email. Yeah. So this one is notalonepodstories@gmail.com. Okay. Not alone pod. stories@gmail.com.
That's pretty straightforward.
Send it there. What's the date today?
It is the
gosh, it's the 9th. Yeah, wow. Already, holy crap.
Right?
Okay, send us...
Is it still August?
You'd think. Send us your stories by the... I'm going to make an arbitrary decision now. The 23rd. That gives you Lovely. 2 weeks from today to get them sent in. And we'll include them. We may include them. We'll let you know. So, okay. notalonepodstories@gmail.com. Send your stories there. Now then, Jason.
Sam.
I turn it over to you.
Oh, dear. Well, I'm not sure how this is going to go. This is the one time...
reassuring.
...that I am completely unsure of it.
I gave you 2 weeks
do
this.
You did. And for those 2 weeks, I... did something very stupid.
What did you do?
I went to Reddit, and I know, right? Deep breath. I went to the glitches in the Matrix.
Oh, God.
Reddit, and it was, it was a rabbit hole.
It is isn't
to
it?
To say the least.
Is it not truly?
It is absolutely horrific. But that got my mind
absolutely
going.
Horrific.
It is all over the place, all the time, but... I figured we'd talk about something that we have danced around in the past, but really haven't taken a very good look at. So today, I'd like to cover a few things that goes in on our brains.
Our brains?
In our brains. Okay. I like to call this corrupted files.
Shoot.
And I'm talking about deja vu and the Mandela effect today.
Oh, no, not the Mandela effect! Freaking people keep emailing me, people keep tweeting at me, and I just haven't been responding to them. I hate the Mandela effect.
I might be discussing this just so that you don't have to experience that anymore.
I'm really glad. I really appreciate
you. So let's address it.
So wait, are we talking about us being in a simulation?
We'll cross that bridge when we get there.
Let the record state that Jason looks very physically uncomfortable right now.
My All palms right. are sweaty.
Mom's spaghetti. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so first off, let's start with deja vu. That's something that almost all of us have probably had an experience to at some point in time. It's roughly about 66% of the population that's experienced it in one form or another, which deja vu, of course, just means already seen in French. That being said, it doesn't necessarily require just eyesight. It's mostly a feeling of being here at mm-hmm. once before or experiencing this same exact moment previously. It's pretty cool. I tend to feel it like as the event is occurring. Sam, do you yeah. have like a different feeling to it?
Or? No. It's totally, it is. It's more than just like, oh, this seems familiar. It is the... irreconcilable fact that I feel this. Like, I've felt this before. Right? I've been in this place feeling this thing while this happens. It's really a complete experience as opposed to, like you said, just seeing something. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, I could look at this and I've seen this exact screen 100 times, but it doesn't, like, or 78 times at this point. But it doesn't, like, elicit that feeling of, like, whoa, wait, what's going on? And right. That's totally the hallmark of deja vu.
Have you ever tried to, in a conversation that you start to feel deja vu, mm-hmm. Do you ever try to predict what the next phrase or whatever's going to be said next? Do you ever, like, try to figure out? Because I always tend to be, like, right on that edge of, like, oh, yeah, I knew we were going to say this.
I don't necessarily do that because, for me, it's typically – it's happening in the present, but it's typically retrospective. And, like, this happens to Katie, too. She and I both, whenever it happens to us, we just shout it out. It's not, like, a super common thing, but whenever one of us has deja vu, we just say, I'm having deja vu, or I've already done this. And so, like, it'll basically be that...
Trucks.
No, that's some deja vu. It'll basically be that... after a few sentences or something, that's when it really hits me, and that's when I really realize, if I'm talking, because there have been other times where I've just been, I remember one time I was at my job in the call center, and I just remember looking down the hallway, and, like, a person walked past the hallway, and another person walked behind me at the same time, and that was it. I was like, yeah. whoa.
Is it? Do you think that was caused by the weird sensory change?
It could be.
In more of the peripherals?
Yeah, it could be that I was focusing my attention here, and then it went back because I realized there was someone walking behind me. Mm-hmm. But yeah, when it comes to words and stuff, it's typically that somebody says something that sounds a little familiar, I or somebody else responds with something familiar, and then by, like, the third time someone's responded in the sentence, I'm like, wait a second. But at that point, it's too late.
Perfect.
Because I right. break it, because then I yell, I'm having deja vu, which I would not have yelled before.
It's like waking up from a nightmare or something.
Pretty much,
it's like,
yeah.
Oh, I know now, and yeah. now it's broken.
So maybe if we didn't do that, whoa.
How far could you go?
Maybe the reason that deja vu only lasts for a second is because...
we realize we're having deja vu?
You freak out. If you can realize you're having deja vu, but if you don't react and you act in a consistent manner as to how you would approach the situation if you weren't having deja vu, you might just be able to live in deja vu.
But, so that takes so much, I'm not going to say focus, but, like, self-awareness?
Yeah.
To do that.
That seems like...
And I'm going to get into how hard kind of keeping an eye and studying deja vu is in just a moment here, but that would not be a necessarily easy task to accomplish.
No,
I mean, that'd be very impressive.
It would be, I think, the culmination of a lifetime's worth of effort, and I'm going to mm-hmm. start training
right now. Speaking of a lifetime's worth, there are a few theories to it, and probably the funnest theory to deja vu is... experiencing something that you had from a past life.
Mm.
How do you feel about that? Because I am a little shaky on that one.
I don't agree with that. Mainly because it doesn't make sense.
Right?
Like, for it to be the exact situation and, like, oh, I was in this room in a past life. That doesn't make sense.
Yeah, because I looked like this.
Wasn't here.
Right.
But, like, part of what I've been reading a lot of recently is more, like, Buddhist concepts
mm-hmm.
and Buddhist scripture and stuff like that, and you talk about there are these, like, four stages of consciousness that the Buddha descended through in order to become enlightened, and after the first two stages, it's basically to the point where I don't want to have to go into explaining all of this, but essentially the idea is that in your mind there's all these thoughts that mm-hmm. create an illusion of a construct of a mind, but
okay.
if you are able to break through that, you simply see a glimpse of the collective consciousness of everybody existing interconnectedly at the same time.
So we have to break, like, almost like our self-awareness?
Yes,
in
exactly.
order to expand.
Exactly. And I think that
is terrifying.
It is very scary.
Very scary.
If there's anything to do with past lives, so to speak, well, maybe it's not my past life, but somebody else's past life, or maybe I'm even experiencing the consciousness of the person sitting beside me in that moment, that mm-hmm. sort of thing. As far as I lived this life before, I don't necessarily think so, unless we are looking at more of a Ready Player One sort of scenario where there's like this idea.
It's like Groundhog Day almost, where it's just a reboot.
Yeah, reboot. And that could make a little sense. I don't.
If we're living in the Matrix.
I hope that's not what's happening to me right now.
Right? It'd be terrifying.
Yeah.
That being said, I think that is the fun one. But I am not necessarily in that camp. Who'd have thought, right?
Yeah.
Now, there is a problem with deja vu. It's tough to study because it's erratic.
Yeah.
And then as far as our best interpretations as why we get these feelings is mainly based off of a disconnection between our sensories and also essentially the way that our brain makes memories. It's actually really cool. I watched a video from Crash Course this morning on it to go a little bit more in depth, but essentially what it is that our brain takes in information and essentially encodes it into our short-term memory, which is actually only like 30 seconds long. It is incredibly short.
That makes so much sense.
So check it out. So if you start to recall whatever it is that you are remembering in that 30-second span of short-term, that actually gets encoded deeper into more long-term memory.
So this is what I'm trying to do right now. I'm trying to remember you saying what you're saying as you're saying it.
And
it's not working very well.
Going through Albertsons,
I think I'm gonna
before
pass out.
I came here, I looked around and I was trying to see like brand names and stuff like that and like the different types of foods and whatnot. Because, of course, I've been in a grocery store 100,000 times.
Right.
I know exactly where everything should be. But I was walking through and I was trying to remember. I'd glance over to the side, try to read a packaging, and about a minute later, I tried to remember what like flavor it was, and I couldn't.
You couldn't do it.
I knew I was looking at a package of sausages, but that's about it.
Last night, Katie at 11 o'clock realized that she was supposed to make muffins for Bible study this morning, and
that
so,
explains that bag over there. Okay,
and so we went to Albertsons at 11 o'clock, and we picked out we started by picking four different kinds of muffins, and we decided to get four boxes of two different kinds. But it was like I was standing there like debating with her like what kind of muffin would be best to bring, and then somebody won out and I took it and I put it in the cart, and as soon as I put it in the cart I couldn't remember what kind of muffins we had.
Perfect.
It was terrible.
So yeah, when you recall your short-term memory frequently, what it's essentially doing is reinforcing the neural pathways that bridge into long-term memory. Like names. Usually I don't remember anyone's name until I try to repeat it to myself multiple times. That is essentially, again, reinforcing the pathway to remembering things later on. Deja vu tends to happen when our brains are getting confused with the information that we're receiving with short-term and long-term. So even though we categorizing what we are doing right now as short-term memory, our brains are like trying to also pull it up, recall it from our long-term. So we have this desync that is making us feel like we've been here before, but it's not exactly perfect most of the time. Like, at least for me, it tends to be a little cloudy.
Right.
Conversation tends to be the things that I get the most deja vu effect from. Not necessarily my surroundings or where exactly we are, but it tends to be foggy, like I'm trying to remember something from the past anyway.
Yeah. But what causes that initial disconnect? Why?
Great question.
Because I would assume that we quote unquote make memories about a million times a day.
Mm-hmm.
So out of the million times a day, if deja vu even happens to you only once a year, which I think is maybe about normal, if even, like out of the 365 million times that we've done this, why is it that one time it didn't work?
Weirdly enough, it tends to happen to the younger population. As we age, deja vu tends to occur less and less. Why? We still don't really know. Again, this is a tough thing to actually study because it isn't consistent. You can't just, plug us into an environment for us to constantly hit deja vu, deja vu, deja vu. Otherwise, we do have some theories too. One is that we get distracted momentarily while doing a fairly everyday activity. Like, for example, you're going to go type in the PIN code on your door to unlock it.
Mm-hmm.
A noise, something distracts you, ever so slightly, you go back to doing it, and you have that short-term and long-term memory reconnecting on doing the same exact thing of punching your PIN code.
Okay.
Otherwise, there's theories on stress, a few other things, but really we just don't have an actual answer for us yet.
One of the coolest times I had deja vu is how old was I? Probably like 18 or 19. I was listening to Sufjan Stevens for pretty close to the first time.
I feel like most of your stories
have to do with Sufjan Stevens. Totally. And I was listening and he has a song called, what's it called? Well, now I've messed it up, haven't I? Anyway.
You don't remember it.
Yeah.
You remember who you're listening to, but you don't remember the name. That is a lot of recollection issues with past memories, especially longer term memories like that.
Well, in any case,
you remember that you're listening to that particular artist, don't remember quite the song, but you remember the difference from it. The fact
that Transfiguration, that's what it was.
Deja vu.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's his song, The Transfiguration, off of Seven Swans. And it has this very unique, like, bit in the chorus that goes like, do, do, do. Do, 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 do. And like, as I heard that, I was like, holy, I've heard this before. What is this? And it was unlike other deja vu that I've ever had, because the next time I heard that song, because that was the first time I'd ever heard it guaranteed. The next time I heard it, that's what I thought about, was like that deja vu experience. And so it does. It just reinforces every time I hear about it, I think about that experience.
Have you thought that maybe you did hear that pattern before? Because a lot of music is the same repetition of notes and chords.
Right, totally. Well, but that's different, right? Is that I've had other experiences. I don't know if this has ever happened to you. This is about as close to a manufactured deja vu as I think I could get. Have you ever loved a band and then not listened to them for 10 years?
I'm getting close.
Okay.
The Killers. I'm getting real close to them. I haven't listened to Mr. Brightside in like 5.
You need to do your weekly Mr. Brightside listening more, like the rest of us do. There's this band called Abandoned Kansas that I loved when I was like 15, 16.
Okay.
And then I didn't listen to them for 7 or 8 years. And as I was listening to them again, I mean, this song, I probably listened to it 100 times within a month when I first heard it. I'm listening to it and the guy's voice is reminding me of someone. And I'm like, who does this guy sound like? And then it clicked that he sounds like himself. Like that's what
it's been so long that I've listened to him. And I mean, there are things like that too, not just visual images that we encode, but also sound, smell, taste, all of those help encode our memories and ingrain them even further, even if they are something that we haven't looked back and remembered in a very long time, it does kind of trigger those same responses.
Yeah. I wonder if you could train your mind to do more deja vu. If you like consistently, when experiencing something, you'd have to become like a character out of a book, because you'd have to, like, every time you experience something, you tried to remember the last time it happened. And maybe 99% of the time it doesn't do anything, but every 1% it just like triggers deja vu.
I think you'd have to have a pretty... not erratic, but
I think erratic might be
maybe erratic.
Yeah,
lifestyle.
Yeah,
but I don't know, man. It's interesting.
That's
to think
crazy.
Because the age thing is what's throwing me off the most. Which I mean, like with all cells, our brain cells do deteriorate, but brain cells don't really divide and fix themselves too easily.
Right.
So it's not surprising that the degradation of neural transmitters over the age course of our aging can have an effect on how much deja vu we're experiencing. But it's crazy because most of our brain lights up whenever we're trying to make a new memory, which is pretty cool.
Wow. And so like, it is very cool. Like part of me would assume that with an older person, as the cognitive function goes, I would think that they experience deja vu more. But the other half of it is, if you're trying to recall things, when you're older, you have more things to recall.
Yeah.
And so maybe you don't have as much deja vu because that half of, you know, the first half that's seeking the other half in memory finds it more often than it would with a young person.
And probably the most insane thing is that our brains can only recall about 7 or 8 things at once.
What? What do you mean? Like, I can tell you everything. 9 things right now. What do you mean?
It all in the same nanosecond?
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's
like,
fine.
Yeah, that's like...
That's astounding to me that we can do that fast, but totally can.
Yeah.
I remember one time one of my high school teachers talking about that and like how you're not actually thinking two things at once. You're just thinking two things so quickly that it seems like you're thinking two things
right.
at once.
Because our perception of time is much different.
Yeah, yeah. Hiring used to be hard. Multiple job sites, stacks of resumes, a confusing review process. But today, hiring can be easy, and you only have to go to one place to get it done. ZipRecruiter.com/alone. Now, ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards, but they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invites them to apply for your position. Now, as the applications come rolling in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each and every one of them and spotlights the top candidates so that you never miss a great match. And ZipRecruiter is so effective that 80% of employers, okay, who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. Now, with results like that, it is no wonder that ZipRecruiter is the highest rated hiring site in America. Hiring is challenging, right? Hiring is frustrating. Hiring takes time and money and resources and patience and things that we are all in just too short of supply. So please go where hiring is simple. Go where it's fast, where it's smart. A place growing businesses connected to qualified candidates, okay? You need to go to ZipRecruiter.com/alone. And right now, our listeners, by going to ZipRecruiter.com/alone, can try it for free, all right? I've said it a few times already, but I'm going to say it one more time, okay? One more time. Listen up. Here it is. That's ZipRecruiter.com/alone. A-L-O-N-E. Alone. ZipRecruiter.com/alone. It's ZipRecruiter. It's the smartest way to hire. Now let's get back to the show.
Okay.
Spooky. Okay.
Deja vu, man. It's freaky right?
I feel like
but
I'm
it's,
having it.
It's something that we all experience. And I thought it would be kind of fun to, especially now, because, yeah, we're in Spooktober.
Yeah.
Let's connect a little bit. Let's try to figure our stuff out.
Yeah.
Let's maybe pull back a little bit of the veil. But, yeah.
Okay.
Neuroscience is crazy, man.
It's insane.
But it also is crazy is the Mandela effect.
Okay, wait, before we get there.
Yes.
I'd like to say, I totally appreciate this completely scientific view of deja vu, and I don't think there's anything wrong with it. Have you heard of, oh crap,
oh,
what is
hold
it?
Hold on, let me refill.
He's got to refill
here.
His coffee. Like, just so we're all aware, he's already drinking 24 ounces of coffee since we started talking. He's now filling up another 20, oh, not all.
No,
of
no,
it.
Just,
okay.
just a little. Just a,
okay.
s-
he's just topping
me off.
It off. The scariest, okay. We might talk about ghosts and demons and monsters, but the scariest thing
yes.
is an empty coffee cup.
Black coffee.
Okay. Have you ever heard of temporal lobe epilepsy?
Ooh, epilepsy. Speaking of that, that can also cause deja vu.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's this one researcher. I cannot remember his name. I will put a link to this guy's website. His name is Anthony Peak. I don't know what his actual like job title would be. He's an author for sure. But he's fancies himself as a neuroscientist. I don't know what his qualifications on that are. He does a lot of research, but he does a lot of research into a phenomena called temporal lobe epilepsy, which causes more of...
Does he actually have a PhD?
No, I don't think so.
So he's more like a neuroscience enthusiast.
I think so, yeah.
Just
again,
like I'm a science enthusiast.
Yeah, I don't know anything for sure about him. I heard him talking on my favorite podcast, or one of my old favorite podcasts. I haven't listened to it in months, Mysterious Universe, talking about his experiments and study into temporal lobe epilepsy, which is a form of epilepsy that can create seizures that are more, even more neurologically based. So you don't have any actual physical movement, but the movement of your mind seizes, and it can seem as though like they can seem as though they're lasting for hours, but they only last for like 30 seconds sort of a thing.
Okay.
And really mess with time and all of that. And he was talking.
Do you think that's connected to like loss of time esque scenarios? Yeah.
A lot of times when you have lost time, that's one of the things that people bring up, mm-hmm. is that, and I believe even Whitley Strieber had himself like tested for temporal lobe epilepsy in communion.
Even stuff like that, again, that's pretty erratic.
No, it's totally erratic.
Like that has to be so hard to diagnose.
Yeah. Yeah. But with Anthony Peake, the reason why I'm dancing around his credibility is because he uses temporal lobe epilepsy studies as a way to try to study and pinpoint more information on precognition.
Ah.
So he has this one amazing story that, if it's true, is enough to get me to freaking blow my whole mind right open. And it's basically this story of him and a friend of his who went out to coffee. They were on the second level of a two-story coffee shop, and you could see down into the lobby of the first level, basically. And his friend has temporal lobe epilepsy. They're sitting there talking, and she goes blank for 30 seconds. And that's what it is that she's just not there anymore. Mm-hmm. And after a few seconds, she says, what's he doing here? He's not supposed to be here. And then she's blank for a few more seconds, and then she comes back. And he says, what just happened to you? Did you just have a seizure? And she said, yeah, you know, and everything just goes fuzzy, and it just goes blank, and I don't really know what happens. And then she looks over down into the lobby, and she sees her son walk through the doors, and she says, what's he doing here? He's not supposed to be here. And he believes that the temporal lobe epilepsy like removes the construct of time somehow or another. It's very interesting stuff. Like I said, I'll link to it in the show notes, but that's something else. If you want to go down rabbit holes, that's a rabbit hole to go down.
He also
has done a lot of work into like Ready Player One kind of simulation theory, wherein he believes in the possible existence of something called the daemon, which in old times is like a guardian spirit or a guardian angel sort of thing.
Yeah, like Matt Damon.
Yeah, exactly. You know how Matt Damon watches over all of us all the time?
Yeah, he should be Batman.
He is Batman in my brain. Anyway, and the daemon, like the idea is that if you're driving and you have this inert feeling to slow down or speed up or turn left.
So those odd like gut feelings.
Mm-hmm. They're not only a guardian angel watching out for you, but they are quite literally like reloading from a save, and you just died.
Oh my God.
Yeah, you died. You're reloading and you're like, wait, I have to turn left instead of right. That sort of a thing. So he's an interesting fella.
That's a great concept, but man, like that must throw everyone else way off every time someone has to reload.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
it's like trying to pause an online video game, man. Yeah. Like,
and if that's the case, then why do people die? I mean, I guess we live in this parallel. Once we're talking parallel universes,
Get there.
Cause it's like, okay. Oh yeah, that's right. Okay. So with that segue, check out Anthony Peake. We'll link to his stuff in the show note. Tell me about the Mandela effect.
Well, the Mandela effect came about in 2009 when Fiona Broom, a paranormal consultant, in quotations, had a shared false memory that Nelson Mandela died in prison in the 80s, when he actually died 4 years later in 2013. Now, her explanation of that is quite simple. She and thousands of other people are from a parallel universe, mm-hmm. and they crossed into ours at some point in time between the 80s and now, to where their memory was correct for what they experienced, but because now they are in a different universe, it is incorrect with our current timeline. And there's a whole lot of other things connected to that.
Okay, let me just say some stuff. Firstly, I myself have at times experienced this so-called effect. The first one was that light. I went
what happened to
2 years,
light?
Not the one right in front of us. I have like a hanging down light with two beautiful bulbs. It's very artful and nice, and I like it. Then behind it is like the kind of fluorescent light you'd see in like a freaking diner.
It's in the kitchen.
Yeah, it's in the kitchen.
It's nicer than mine.
I went 2 years living in this house before I recognized that light as being there. I didn't realize a light was there. Because when I turn on that one light switch, it turns on both of the lights. And so one day I woke up.
Did you never look up?
I guess not. I woke up. I came out. I was making coffee. I looked up and I saw that light and I started screaming. And I said, I'm in a parallel world. This is a different world. This doesn't exist. And in reality, I was probably just being forgetful again. But the other thing about the Mandela effect, so that's the first thing that I hate about it, is I really do believe that you're just wrong. You're just misremembering things. Katie has her own story of the Mandela effect with, do you know the Reverend Billy Graham? He died very recently.
The name sounds familiar.
A lot of our people will know, or our listeners are people. You are a people.
Yeah.
And people. We're yours. He was like a spiritual advisor to last four or five presidents or something. He was a huge evangelist and like people loved him, and he died. And when he died, Katie was like, no, he died a long time ago. And she like specifically remembers watching TV and watching his funeral procession and watching all of the living presidents standing there and like, paying respect and all of this, and like they took a photo together sort of thing, and like she found pictures online of people who were like at his memorial, and they were like, his memorial already looks like it's 5 years old, like it looks like it's old rock and old steel on the placard and stuff like that. And to that I was like, well, they probably just distressed it or something, I don't know, but she is convinced that Billy Graham already died. I don't have that big of a story. Mine is my only one is the light, but I really do believe
that's a pretty good one.
It's simply misremembering. So that's where we're starting. That's why I really don't like the Mandela effect, but go ahead.
Well, I am in the same exact boat, and good. I think it goes to show even more how we are just pattern recognition machines. So as far as Nelson Mandela, in the 80s, he did get, I believe it was tuberculosis in prison. And his health was in quite a bit of question. Also, South Africa was in quite a bit of a movement. A lot of that was televised as well. A lot of, I'm not going to say parades, but I guess
demonstrations,
thank you, were being held. And there are countless articles about Nelson Mandela in establishing essentially a legacy already from the 80s while he was in prison. So it makes a lot of sense that people have this misconception that he died in prison. Well, he was actually released in the 90s. I think it was 1990, exactly. And went on to become president of South Africa and actually dying in 2013. So, I mean, it makes sense that you forget that because we're talking about a 30-year span.
Well, and just
memories get hazy.
Mm-hmm. I mean, people often, I would not even be surprised to learn if someone held up a newspaper that said Mandela dies in prison, I would not even be surprised to see that, because you have like the famous photo from the Truman versus Dewey election, wherein they thought it was such a surefire thing that Truman was going to lose that
they already printed
it. They printed it and released it the next day.
It's same thing with Super Bowl hats.
Yeah. And so probably there was a moment where they said something along the effect of, well, Mandela will either make it or not through the night. And they already printed it and it got released accidentally. But I think that's really interesting that you say he was ill, and there was also the talk of already having a legacy. Because a legacy is something that you associate with death all the time.
Yep. And like I said, his health was in pretty big question. He himself say that he feared dying in prison. And that starts to ingrain the idea that he dies in prison. Mm-hmm. So it makes a lot of sense that people are misremembering this. Some other very, very common ones are C-3PO and his silver leg. That one I actually had to go back and look at stills from the movies to make sure that I wasn't going crazy because I thought he was gold. He's not. He's not all gold. He has one right shin, essentially, that is silver throughout most of the movies.
See, but
that being
just...
said, his legs aren't necessarily always in the shot. That and on Tatooine, it's kind of golden and shiny everywhere anyway.
Yeah, so the lighting's
reflection
not great.
Of light, the actual still photographer on set got confused when he finally noticed, like, way into filming that he had a silver leg and was like, hey, what's going on? Why do you have a silver leg? The actor that played C-3PO has stated multiple times that he has always had a silver leg and was never fully gold. I guess he fully was gold in, what was it? Oh, God.
Phantom Menace?
Revenge of the Sith.
Okay.
Phantom Menace, he was, like, naked. He had,
right,
like, wires and everything like
but
that.
But he gets skin. Like, he gets skin.
Yeah, he gets plate, I guess.
Plate. Is he like a medieval knight?
It looks kind of like it.
Yeah.
And eventually gets a red arm into the newer movies now.
Right.
But a lot of people remember it as being a golden leg. And that's what I do too. But it was just an honest case of misremembering because his entire body is gold.
Honestly, have
that
you
one's
ever,
pretty simple.
In the store, the Apple store, mm-hmm. where we work.
Yes.
We've said this before. No one can get mad at us. I don't know why I'm so defensive.
You get mad at us again?
Yeah. Haven't you ever turned over one of the gold iPads and been like, wait, is this gold or silver? Because the lighting...
The gold and silver are very close.
Very similar.
Yes.
And like, if we were to break C-3PO into like 10 parts, 9 of those parts are gold, the one is silver on a sand-covered planet.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
and it's also a pretty high polish on it too.
Yeah.
So his whole body is very reflective.
Boom, misremembering. Go for it. Go for it.
Yeah.
Pikachu's tail, that was one that I've seen. Like, the edge of Pikachu's tail is yellow, but a lot of people think it has, like, a brown stripe on it, when in reality, it's just the tip of his ear that's covering up the edge of his tail. So a lot of people think that he has a brown spot on
his tail.
Oh,
I didn't see that one. I saw Looney Tunes. Looney Tunes is a pretty popular one, where Looney Tunes is spelled two different ways. Looney Tunes is actually spelt Looney, and then tunes as in like show tunes.
Okay.
Like songs. A lot of people misremember it as being tunes as in like cartoons, which makes obvious sense, right?
Yeah, both of those make sense.
Cartoons is what we see almost all the time. So we assume that when it is tunes, it's not like a play on word. It's actually just like cartoons shortened.
Yeah.
It's really not. Mirror on the Wall is an incredibly like... standard one, where in the actual movie for Snow White, she says magic mirror on the wall, but the actual source material was mirror on the wall. And it gets repeated all the time. It's actually really just like that one movie from 1937 that states magic mirror on the wall. Almost every other variation of it has been mirror, which makes us think that it was always going to be mirror.
Yeah. So you're saying the original source material is mirror, like the old fairy tale is mirror. See, but doesn't that just like say something to you about like the public consciousness that the most well-known rendition of this is magic mirror, but everybody like the Disney Snow White movie is a lot of times the only time someone's actually going to interact with that fairy tale.
Right.
Like they're not reading the source material, but because of the public consciousness, knowing that that's what it is, they think mirror, even when the Disney one says magic mirror.
Correct.
That's weird. Like, that is weird.
The only other time that magic mirror was stated was on a cartoon about 4 years earlier, 1933. That was Magic Mirror in My Hand, Who is the Fairest in the Land?
Oh, that's a good one, too.
Yeah.
I like that.
Right? That's pretty good. So that was taken over into Snow White.
What do they say in Shrek? Because that's what I'm going off of.
It's mirror.
Okay, good.
I watched the clip again. It is mirror.
Yes. I'm glad you did your research
for
this one.
It's mirror on the wall. In almost every other pop culture connection to the magic mirror has always said mirror. Now, another one that you brought up several times, Kazam.
Yeah.
Tell me about Kazam, Sam.
Kazam, isn't it actually... Wait, is it actually Kazam or is it actually Shazam? Everybody thinks it's Shazam.
It's actually Kazam.
It's actually Kazam.
I think everyone thinks it's Shazam because it has Shaq in it.
Yeah, exactly. But then there's another layer to this where, like, Sinbad also has a genie movie.
Yeah. The reason... So... Sinbad anyway, was actually pretty remember, popular though, in the night.
If
the
you
early
don't
1990s.
Remember,
yes.
Kazam is the story of I'm going for this.
Yes,
a genie in a bottle that like breaks on top of a boombox, and then the genie lives in the boombox, and the genie is Shaq.
Yeah.
So if you haven't seen it, which I find highly improbable,
it's great.
Go watch it. It's amazing. Okay,
it's
go ahead.
It's so good. Anyway, so Sinbad was actually pretty popular in the early 90s. Kazam came out, I believe, is like 97. But Sinbad is a name that we already correlate with genies.
Well, Sinbad is included in the 1001 Arabian Nights. Mm-hmm. So it does have like that automatic proximity.
Correct. He also hosted a video or a movie marathon where he was dressed up as a pirate. If you hadn't have seen his cutlass, you would have probably assumed he was a genie.
So was Sinbad ever in a genie movie?
No.
No, okay.
He has said countless times on social media that he has never been a genie.
I love these when they have to refute them in public.
It's so, so great. Let's see. The Bears.
The Bears is an interesting one.
I don't think it is. It's pretty straightforward.
Go ahead.
Bear-stain bears.
Okay.
Not Bear-steen bears.
Okay.
That being said, the surname Bear-stain, which is the correct spelling for Bear-stain bears because it's named after the authors, there's probably less than 10 surnames that actually have stain mm-hmm. at the end. Otherwise, Steen, which is the much more common one that most of us are familiar with, there are probably hundreds of surnames that have Steen at the end.
Well, the reason why I say it's interesting, not only is it the Nelson Mandela effect of our time, honestly.
At least for Americans.
Yeah, most people, this is going to be, you know, of our generation, this is going to be the only huge experience they have with this. For one thing, I never cared or knew much either way. Like when people said, is it Berenstain or Berenstein? I was like, I don't know. What is it? Tell me. I have no recollection here. And so it didn't.
It wasn't a cartoon that I followed.
Yeah.
And or a book that I read.
And the books and stuff. We did have the books, but I didn't like care to remember the exact spelling. But the thing about it, why I say it's interesting. So some people kind of like with the actual Mandela ideas that like, oh, some reason or another, we're in a different parallel universe. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, that's one thing. But I have actually seen what I believe to be undoctored photographs of the other spelling. And what I think may have happened is that just like it happens now where we say, oh, it's with an E and not an A or whatever it is.
It was misprinted.
It was misprinted. And the printer was like, oh, this is either a typo because no mm-hmm. one's called Bear-stain. It would be Bear-steen.
Right.
Or they themselves created the typo unknowingly and mm-hmm. it just autofilled.
That makes the most sense to me. Actually something that is also, I had no idea. The Ford logo for Ford Motor Company.
Okay.
The F has a little loop at the end. Mm-hmm. Not the big cross at the very top, but the middle one as well.
Okay.
Henry Ford didn't sign his name like that. And I have seen in the same photograph a Ford logo that has the loop and right down the street a Ford logo that does not have the loop.
That's funny.
And it just comes to show like, yes, we do make assumptions based off of preconceived knowledge. Steen is way more popular than Stain. We assume that that has to be the correct spelling. Something happened incorrectly. So we try to fix it in print. And then even sometimes after that, we screw that up.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to be the one to rain on parades. But it really is my flat earth. I find absolutely nothing compelling. It's not even worth talking about to me, the Mandela right? effect. Like, and that's not to belittle anybody who has a big thing for it. Like, I know a lot of people do, and a lot of people really love it. And like, most paranormal podcasts cover it way before episode 77 or 79, wherever we are now. But like, I love you all so deeply. And if you think that you have a story that proves that I'm wrong, please send it to me. notalonepodcast@gmail.com. Don't do the other one. That's just for listener stories we're going to read on the show. But like, the Mandela effect is nothing. It is nothing.
You know what it is? Confabulation.
Confabulation. And
which is just misremembering.
Mm-hmm.
You can believe wholeheartedly that your memory is correct.
Yeah.
But at some point in time, that memory got corrupted.
I think the reason why the Mandela effect as well has never held anything for me is that I don't think my sister listens to this show. If she does, it's not regularly enough for me to assume she's going to hear this. She has a very specific memory of me, my brother, and this friend of my brother's who was a jerk.
Mm-hmm.
When she was 6 years old, so I would have been 8 years old, so my brother would have been 10 years old or thereabouts.
Yeah.
And she swears, and literally we have fought about this before, that me, Jake, and Jake's crappy friend came in to the house, held her down, and beat the living crap out of her.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And we're like, Tessa, this isn't happening. This never happened. Like, there's no way this could have possibly happened without mom and dad remembering this, because you'd be bruised and beaten and broken. But she swore by it until she was like 16. And we just finally, everyone at once, like, yelled at her about it, which I'm sure created a different trauma. But like, that's why for me, the Mandela effect has never even been worth thinking about, is because I've seen how my sister sits there and believes 100% it happened, and we know that it didn't. And it's the same thing. And that's okay. That's why a lie detector test can't tell if something is objectively true.
Right.
Like, it's the same sort of thing. You can remember whatever you want. I remember all sorts of weird crap that probably didn't happen, but that's okay. That's right. Just life.
Because you know yourself that you're consciously not trying to lie.
Exactly. Yeah.
For you, this is true.
Yeah. I would never accuse somebody of lying. Like, I wouldn't tell Katie she's lying about Billy Graham. I would just say she's misremembering. But I think that what happens is people who see the Mandela effect everywhere, and who see it in Mandela and the bears and Pikachu and everything, and they hold to their guns on it, I think it belays or betrays an underlying psychological thing of like, I'm just not going to admit that I'm wrong.
Right.
And like,
it becomes ingrained almost as a part of who you are.
Your again. Personality. Yeah. 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 Oh, I'm like freaking, I would not be surprised if there are people who out there who refer to themselves as Berenstains or Berensteins, depending. Like, people feel so strongly about this that you could use this as one of the implements of your personality. This week, Not Alone is sponsored by AMC Networks Shudder. Shudder is a premium streaming video service, super serving fans of all degrees with the best selection of horror and thrillers. Shudder's irrepressible and thriving community revels in all things provocative, evocative, and dangerous. And now you can stream the greatest thrillers, horrors, and suspense films for only $4.99 a month or $49.99 a year. Shudder has the largest, fastest-growing, human-curated selection of thrilling and dangerous entertainment, and is often called the Netflix of horror. There are new spine-tingling thrillers, shocking horrors, and edge-of-your-seat suspense films added weekly, and you'll have unlimited access to stream ad-free on all your favorite devices, things like your iPad, iPhone, Apple TV, Xbox, Amazon Fire TV, Google Chromecast, Roku, and Android devices. Now, as most of our listeners know, I fancy myself as a bit of a film aficionado. I was just thrilled to see the amount of classics that they have on this streaming service, movies that everybody just has to see, things like The Evil Dead and Rob Zombie's House of a Thousand Corpses, those kinds of movies that have just been ingrained into pop culture one way or the other. But for the people who truly love horror, as I know so many of our fans do, you are going to be delighted by the diversity of what this streaming service has to offer. It's not just like when you get on Netflix and you go to suspense or you go to horror and everything's all looped together. They have supernatural horror, serial killers, creatures, psychological, paranormal, even horror documentaries, comedy horror, crime and mystery, sci-fi horror, those cult classic shorts, and they, of course, have exclusive and original content as well. Things like the very provocative, very disturbing and interesting film Cuso, which was directed by one of my favorite musicians, Flying Lotus. His wild and crazy debut feature film. In addition to their exclusive titles, they also have countless collections, things like 30 of the best horror films that you won't find on Netflix. Shudder has something for everyone who has any interest at all in film and horror films specifically. And for being a listener of Not Alone, you have the option to try Shudder for free for 30 days. You go to shudder.com/podcast and enter our unique promo code ALONE. That's shudder.com/podcast and enter promo code ALONE, ALONE, for your free 30 days of streaming. Now let's get back to the show. Okay, we are joined now by a special guest, my wife, who just came out of the bedroom to get a cup of water, and now we are going to make her tell us about Billy Graham.
Is it good?
It's good.
Okay, what should I say?
Talk about Billy Graham.
Okay, well, Billy Graham died like either earlier this year or late last year, recently, if you may or may not know. And when he died, I was like, Billy Graham is already dead, because I remember in high school, when I was in high school, so it was maybe 2011 around there somewhere. He died, and everybody was posting on Facebook this quote from Billy Graham that said, someday you will hear that Billy Graham is dead, but I don't know the exact quote, but someday you will hear that Billy Graham is dead. Don't believe it. I'm not really dead. I'm with Jesus. It's like basically what he's saying in the quote. And I remembered people posting this quote when he died the first time, like dozens of people posting this quote. And so then he died again, and then people posted the quote again. And I was like, but this already happened when I was in high school. He's already dead. And then my favorite podcaster, other than Sam Fredrickson and Jason Moitoso, Jamie Ivey from the Jamie Ivey podcast, or the Happy Hour with Jamie Ivey. I was watching her Insta stories, and she was at the Billy Graham Museum in somewhere in the South. And there was like a memorial to Billy Graham. And he had, like, when she posted this Insta story, he had been dead for like maybe a month. And there was already this memorial to Billy Graham there, like had his death date on it. And it like was really aged, and it had that quote on it about like, one day you will hear Billy Graham is dead. Don't believe it. And I was like, and it looked like it had been there for forever instead of just a month. It did not look brand new.
Didn't you see a picture about a funeral, something, president?
Oh, yeah, I did. Yeah, I remember. Yeah, I forgot about that part. Yes, and I remember when he died, all of the living presidents attended his funeral, all of them. And I, like, remember what it looked like. It was, like, a big black, like, you could tell it was, like, inside, like, a large church or arena of some kind, but it was probably a large church. And like it was like dark in the back of the photo. And then there was like a spot of light on the coffin, and all four presidents were standing in a semicircle around the coffin. And there was like an American flag over the coffin.
And were those presidents Carter, Bush, Bush, Obama, Clinton? See, that'd be five.
That is five. So maybe there was five living presidents. I don't remember. There, yeah, it would have been all five of them, because Carter's still alive. I forgot about him.
Jimmy.
This doesn't seem very likely.
It is likely. It happened. And then, okay, and so then when he died, I was like, this it already happened. So I went on to Reddit, which I don't do. I don't know anything about Reddit, but I went on to Reddit, and like, or I don't even think I went there on purpose. I think I just Googled like Billy Graham already dead, and it took me to Reddit, and there were all these people who are like, Billy Graham already died. And I think it was in the R Mandela Effect subreddit, and sounds everyone about right. was like, and but then they, some, to be honest, some of them seem kind of crazy. Like one of them was like, one of the people was like, were like, was like, one of the people said that they were like, Billy Graham probably has died more than any other man in history. Like, what? When it'll happen again in 5 years. Like, he just keeps on dying. But there were lots of other people who remembered Billy Graham already being dead. Now, were they crazy? I don't know. But I'm not crazy much. And I know that Billy Graham already died in the earlier years.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you so much, Katie. You can now go back to the bedroom if you'd like. I need to make bows. Katie's going to make some bows. So, and that, to me, is just the perfect example of what we were just talking about.
Didn't Senator Kennedy die around that time point?
I don't know.
I think it was Ted Kennedy.
There's so many Kennedys, and they're all dead.
Yeah.
The dead Kennedys.
So the one who dated Taylor Swift. Wait, what? I'm thinking like old guys.
I don't know what she's talking about. Okay. Anyway, that to me is the perfect example of what we were just saying. I would never tell Katie she was lying because she's not lying. And Jason was sitting here and can confirm that she feels very passionately and speaks very truthfully about this, but she is wrong.
I'm not wrong.
She is wrong.
And you're just a dimension traveler. That's fine.
In any case, so... That's my feelings on the Mandela effect.
Okay. So, thank you, Katie. Now, here's the fun part. Parallel universe travel.
Okay.
There's some theories to it. And primarily the biggest like explanation of why there is a multiverse is to explain the really weird stuff that goes on in quantum mechanics.
I was reading in my copy of the Dhammapada, The Way of the Dharma, and he was talking about how how the idea behind, again, consciousness in Buddhism mm-hmm. is that these are thoughts are entities that arise within your mind unconnected to each other. There's not a beginning and end of thought. Like, a lot of people think of a literal stream of consciousness that goes on without ending until the very last moment of your life. But in this thought process, it's instead that you have at your core that collective consciousness, and then out of it come thoughts. And the majority of them obviously are going to be your own, quote unquote, your own thoughts, but rather that they appear and disappear the same way that electrons and subatomic particles seem to appear out of nowhere and then disappear to nowhere into and out of like an energy field there. Quantum physics is very strange.
It's crazy.
And
it's...
we are not going to be the people who sit here saying that quantum physics explains the Mandela effect. We're not going to do it, but I'm sure we're happy to discuss it. But I will not be that person because Chris Cogswell will kill me.
Yeah, so...
100%.
So...
Okay.
Now that that is established, there's a couple other ideas of how parallel universes work. One of them I kind of like quite a bit. It's very, very simple. And me being someone that likes dinosaurs, it makes a lot of sense.
Oh, no.
Because the idea is simply that parallel universes lie on top of one another just like layers of bedrock.
Sure.
And layers of rock in general. Some points are thinner than other points, which are larger and farther away, and sometimes they overlap, which creates the Mandela effect or the ability to travel between parallel universes. That being said, it's not like you're going to be able to travel to a different universe just by going down and turning left onto an alleyway or something like that. Not possible. I am so sorry, but it would take so much more energy to possibly bridge any other multiverse at all, in any kind of way. Another idea is the fact that multiverses all exploded into existence with essentially an infinite number of Big Bangs. Now, the problem with traversing into a multiverse is that we'd have to go back in time before the Big Bang, which theoretically is impossible because there's nothing before that, that we know right. of, at least. I mean, there are theories that the Big Bang is just a constant loop, which I am kind of hopeful for, to where it just kind of rubber bands back and forth, expansion, and then slowly pulling back in, collapsing into essentially another Big Bang that will create another universe. I kind of want that to happen. I really don't want like the universe to just drift off into nothingness forever.
And so if, let's take that into account and let's remove chaos theory, right? Because of chaos theory and Jeff Goldblum sitting there with his shirt off. And he's like, that's chaos theory. So
that's the best Jeff. That's the Jeff I like to think of.
I've heard people talk about the Big Bang followed by the Big Crunch followed by the Big Bang. And does it not serve to reason that if this is as cyclical as it may appear, if we're going to say that that's what happens, even theoretically, is it not possible that when the Big Bang occurs again, it will occur exactly how it did the first time? And the passage of time will happen the exact same way. Atoms will react in the exact same way to the point of,
I think you watch too much Futurama.
The universe is dead here.
Mm-hmm.
It crunches, it bangs, and then
13.7.
Yeah, 13.7 billion years later, two Yahoos are sitting at a table talking about the Big Crunch again, and their names are Sam Fredrickson and Jason Moitoso, and we are, in fact, eternal.
That's a lovely thought. But
I think it's the most terrifying thought I've ever had, actually.
Then we're just doomed to repeat the same exact thing, and there is right. no essence of free will, essentially.
Yeah.
No, you're right. That is a horrible thought. Good job, Sam.
Probably great the worst job. One I'll have today.
And now, the most fun is the idea that we are already living in multiple universes at once.
Okay.
Which that is the one that is the most bizarre to me, simply because it's essentially the idea behind it is because of all the different decisions that we can make at any one point in time, you are living in multiple universes right before you make a decision. It's like we're skipping. It's kind of weird.
Okay. I think I understand. Basically,
but that's like the best we have as far as like parallel universes and a multiverse theory at this point in time. Just like how it's tough for us to figure out neuroscience and be able to do studies on deja vu, it's also incredibly tough to talk about a multiverse in quantum mechanics because everything works so differently once you're at that scale.
You're so small. So very, very small of a man.
Thanks, Sam. I just got back to the gym. I'm trying to become a big boy again.
And then you won't be quantum physics. You'll just be physics.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and you know, the other thing about parallel universes that you always hear, especially when we're looking at glitches in the Matrix and the Mandela effect and all of this, is this whole mini worlds theory that was developed by a man named Hugh Everett III, who was a physicist, a quantum physicist.
Why do you just know that name off the top of your head?
Because it's a good name, okay. Ain't it?
What was it again?
Everett.
Yeah, that's a good name.
I really like the name Everett, actually. Katie, can we name our son Everett? She can't hear me. Hugh Everett developed this mini worlds theory basically as
like the end of the Men in Black movie where everyone just lives in marbles.
No, that would be like a multiverse, like actual multiverse theory is that there are these different and each one's in a marble. The mini worlds is the one wherein you make a decision, the world branches into 2 or 4 or 17 different ways, and then your consciousness goes down one of those routes while other copies of you go on the other ones. And like a lot of people take this to be a true concept when in reality, he was pretty much just doing it as like a thought experiment to illustrate bizarreness of quantum physics.
That's not only that, but one of the biggest issues with a multiverse in general or parallel universes, multiple dimensions, is that we use them a lot in pop culture and in storytelling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do.
It is It is such a, it's ingrained so much into how we tell different stories now that it is, I mean, it always has been. Trips to different worlds, worlds of the gods, things like that. Mm-hmm. That is something that we have talked about as human beings for centuries, mm-hmm. for thousands and thousands of years. This goes way back into very early man and essentially, again, our storytelling and how we communicate to one another. So it's this is just like witches, just like everything else in UFOs, this is another rendition of how we are telling stories. And I think because of that, we tend to assume that crossing over to a different universe is a lot simpler than what it would actually possibly take.
Right. That it could be possible at all to do.
I mean, and we have a gigantic Hadron Collider that is massive.
Technically, it's just a large Hadron Collider.
Whatever. It's huge, though. And we're talking about making it's dark matter with it. And that's one particle. You shoot two particles at each other at incredible speeds. Mm-hmm. Could you imagine how much power it would take to move you?
Incomprehensible. Plus, we do, like, the idea of a multiverse isn't fringy. I mean, it's not like the mini worlds theory of, oh, these multiple parallel realities, and in this reality Mandela died, and then we moved into, like, literally I've seen people diagram reality A, reality B merging into reality C because the my presence in this reality creates another reality that's separate from the first reality. And in reality B, no one's talking about Berestein versus Berenstain. But in reality C, they are, even though in reality A, it's Berestain. And it's like, you're just overdoing it at this point, guys. But in any case, that is fringy. That is weird. That is not something that's super well accepted. But the idea of a multiverse simply is that we are one universe that is connected somehow to another universe. Like the most common illustration that I see it is bubble wrap, and that each universe is a bubble, and that we're all connected on the same sheet. We all exist together, but I mean, those bubbles are 17 billion light years across, and like you can't even figure out how to get to the end of it. And if you could, what are you gonna do next? Like that idea.
Well, you wouldn't be able to.
No, sure. That idea is a good, solid scientific idea that has been pretty well, like, it's not proven, obviously, but it's got credence. But the idea that because I turned left, the world split in two, where I turned right another time, it's not as well accepted as a lot of people think it is, I guess.
Don't get me wrong. I feel that I am very important and everyone else is. But we're not that important.
None of us are important at all, actually. None of us matter.
Sam?
We're all just fodder for the universal death machine.
Anyway.
The great filter.
Ooh, the great filter, you say. I love the great filter. Anyway, that is what I have. I'm sorry, folks. You're probably not...
Probably with both of us, you're not
probably
very happy.
Not universe travelers. You're probably just misremembering things. But that's okay, because a lot of us do.
That is true. I misremember things all the time.
Oh, yeah. I know.
Now, just because these things don't exist doesn't mean you have to feel bad about it. And like I said, if you really disagree with us here, let me know. I'd love to hear your stories. I really would. Even if I'm not going to believe them to be objectively true, I know that they are true for you.
They're personal truths.
They're personal truths. Now, if you can give me a personal truth with documentation proving that it's not just a typo somewhere along the way, then I'll give it a little more credence. But in any case, you like literally 17 people have been like, do an episode on the Mandela effect. We've done it. Don't ask me to do it again. And Jason, I thought that was good. I thought that was a good special.
I'm so glad you say this every time I do a special.
It's true. I always do. I really like how your specials have really, I would say, come to shape or to show your personality more, in that at first I put you in the box of like, okay, you need to do something about a monster or something. And you were like, okay, and you did very well. But now you're just talking about like weird science stuff that you really like anyway. So I like that a lot. And if there is not any, there's nothing scarier than a lot of these concepts, like the concept that we are just in a never-ending world-destroying cycle. And yeah, like,
that's totally fair.
The concept that you're living the same thing over and over and over and you can't break out and you just don't realize
that, or
it.
The fact that what you ingrained into yourself as being truth and who has shaped who you are as a person, that is just actually incorrect and false.
It's just incorrect. There is no objective self. No one exists. No one...
We're very biased of ourselves,
aren't
we?
No one physically, like, think about Jason. Jason, tell me about Jason. Tell me about yourself.
Oh, man. Well, I only started doing this so people listen to me.
Okay, so that tells us a lot about yourself right there. But everything that implies, those are attributes of you. Those are formed by the passage of time and the way that your life has led you to be. It is not you. You, Jason, don't exist as you think you exist. Your personality and your consciousness are simply the convergence of everything that has ever happened to you, but there's no grain of like reality and being within you.
Because it is simply, how I perceived it.
You are simply the amalgamation of your life experience. And that can be very scary on one hand and say, well, then who am I? What am I? And on the other side, it can be extremely freeing to say that if I don't have any inherently real part of myself, then I can be whatever I want to be. Because I sit here and I think of myself, oh, I'm not smart enough to do that. I'm not that creative. I can't be that kind of person. Well, if you're not the kind of person you are now, then there's no reason you can't be that kind of creative or that kind of person you want to be.
Deep cuts, Sam.
Deep cuts. Wow. Okay. Where does Inception play into all of this?
Like the movie?
Yeah.
when I originally watched it, like in what, 2008? How old is that movie? 2010? It's been a while.
Right around there.
Yeah. Such a good movie. I didn't really wholeheartedly watch it either, so it was more like, yeah, that's playing. Okay, I'll watch a bit. I'm gonna go make a sandwich.
Well, do you think Cobb is awake or do you think he's asleep?
Oh God. I think it's open to interpretation. That's the way that the film was designed.
I think that it doesn't matter because he's happy.
Which, I guess that is the best answer.
Which takes me back to simulation theory. Does it
next
matter?
Week on the Not Alone.
No, not next
Dang
week,
it.
But soon.
I don't want to know.
Does it matter?
I'm a real boy.
If we can accept that your consciousness and personality is manufactured and fake, why can't your body be manufactured and fake?
I mean, it's manufactured.
Fake. What is fake? That's the whole point. It'd be stupid for me to sit here and say you don't exist, because obviously there's a person sitting in front of me. Like, are
God,
you?
God, I hope so.
If people will say like, oh, I can't have a full life if I'm living in a simulation. That's bull. You can have a full life. Go have a full life. Don't come at me with this Mandela effect stuff. That's not having a full life. Go look at other things on the internet. There's a lot of good, cool things you can learn about. Stop emailing me about the Mandela effect.
Yeah. So weirdly enough, I actually did you a huge favor today. Sorry, everyone else. Yeah. You can still email him about it, but again, PDFs, images, let's get some hard evidence.
Yes.
Anyway, another thing that I saw on Glitch in the Matrix is someone had this story where they were hiking and like the whole night sky just flashed real quick, like completely white.
Oh,
like
that's
daylight.
Interesting.
And it went back to normal. And like him and two other people they were hiking with saw it. And then like four other people commented on seeing it too. So weird stuff happens every once in a while.
Yeah. And like glitches in the Matrix are totally a thing. Like, that's a different, for me, a Mandela effect is a subsection of a glitch in the Matrix.
Totally.
That specific one doesn't happen, but other ones might. But even then, it's this idea of like what's real and what's not. One of the like glitches in the Matrix in my own life is that, oh, I can't even remember how it happened completely now, but basically we were at Katie's parents' house and I was on one half of the room and I walked towards her. And as I was walking, I asked her a question or said something. And as I did that, I saw her just get terrified. And I was like, what is it? What's wrong? And she said, why did you do that? And I said, what? I walked across the room and I said something to you. And she said that she saw me stand and then I dropped to the ground and I crab walked towards her while talking. And then I stood back up again.
Oh dear.
And like, what does that even mean?
I need more sleep.
But I don't know. But like, that's the thing, is it wasn't like just a little misinterpretation of what happened. It was a completely different physical thing that happened. Another time, I mean, you of all people would be in a good position to appreciate this one. People drive by my house all day, every day. They drive very quickly. They drive with their music blaring. But you know what they do is they drive outside of my house. And I can tell they're outside. There's a wall here.
Yes.
It muffles the noise. It changes the noise.
Right.
There was one time
that you had the window open and it sounded like it was right here.
The window was closed.
Uh-huh.
Somebody drove past the house. As they did, music, I don't actually even know if anybody drove past the house. All I know is that out of nowhere, music started playing from the middle of the room. Like, the middle of the room.
It's pretty
and
weird,
then it
Sam.
Stopped. And to me, that was like, oh, there's a truck driving by, and the simulation got a little off, and it put the music in here. And in the truck, that guy was probably like, what the hell? Where'd my music go? And then it came back after he passed my house, because my house has like a gravitational musical well in it. Just like
that's how gravity works.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So now we've gotten way off topic. Sam, that's all I have for you today.
What other cool glitches in the Matrix did you find?
No.
Come on.
Did you find anything? I read through a bunch of them. Nothing that was like really. There is a lot of stories from so and so's youth, which I also kind of chalk up to misinterpretation.
Misremembering.
Yeah. But those are the two I really wanted to cover, because not to undermine anyone and their experiences and things like that, but to we are human. We make mistakes. Sometimes our memories get corrupted, and that makes a great impact on our lives.
Mm-hmm. And other time, multidimensional beings somehow jump through space and time and walk outside of your window while you're asleep.
Mm-hmm.
This happens as well. These are both two equally true things we have said. Thank you for agreeing, Jason.
I'll let you have this one.
At the end of the day, deja vu can probably be explained by science, but that doesn't mean that it's not weird.
Oh, yeah, deja vu is super weird.
And it doesn't mean that the fact that it's happening with that specific thing is meaningless, right? There may still be meaning to it somehow. So that was number one. What was the second thing? Mandela effect?
Yeah.
Was that number two? Mandela effect, believe what you want to believe. I believe it's crap. Number three, parallel universes. They probably exist, but I don't think they exist like we think they exist. And I think you make the great point of we're not ever going to be able to like directly find them. And it's also very unlikely that we're just going to be able to walk into them. That being said, like, remember, I don't know if you remember Bold Street in Liverpool, England.
It's I do.
The time slip place. Yep. Like, who's to say that's not what's happening there when people keep walking into stores that don't exist and like time traveling back unknowingly so. Like, the world is a mysterious and very strange place full of danger and excitement.
That's fair.
That's what I got.
And it's all up to us to interpret.
Exactly. And the believing of it makes it so, except with the Mandela effect.
that's not the, necessarily,
that's,
Sam.
That's the only one that's not true.
I think, yeah, one of these things don't match the others.
Yes. Well, in any case, I'm glad to be back. It was a long,
yes,
I mean,
we're here again.
We technically only missed 1 week last week, but Jason and I haven't recorded in 3 weeks is what we figured out. So
it's
like
been a bit of time.
It's been some time. We're really happy to be back here, though, and glad to be getting back into the swing of things. We don't have any planned absences coming up or anything like that. I wouldn't be surprised if during holiday we do end up taking the week of Christmas off or something like that, which you should all do and be with your families. But in any case, We want to just go ahead and thank everybody who's here now. Everyone who has made it through like 78 episodes or however many it's been.
Oh my gosh, we've made it through 78 episodes.
It's insane. I'm pretty sure this is episode 78. It's just insane. We're still here. We're still not leaving, as far as I know, right now. And no matter how many people leave us a one-star review saying worst podcast ever, thanks, bud, we will not be discouraged, because for the one bad review, we got like 7 good ones, and we want to thank those people.
Worst ever? That's
worst
impressive.
Worst podcast ever. That in and of itself demands respect. You can't try to make a podcast this bad. This podcast is the worst one.
That's final.
Out of half
ever.
A million. The worst one. And that's something worth celebrating, I would say. So, I would like to go ahead and thank Patrick McKay, Snazzy Bat, and DM Fly or Fight. We're going to go ahead and read Patrick McKay's. It says Victory, which is an interesting subtitle. Oh, I understand now. Victory.
Perfect.
I listened for the first time this afternoon. The gin episodes were intriguing and entertaining. Nothing captures my attention like mentioning playing Civilization. Thank you. I will be listening to more episodes soon. Keep up the good podcasting. Patrick, I'm sorry to tell you this.
We're the worst ever.
We're the worst podcast ever.
It was a fluke.
The absolute worst. This person's saying that our show has potential to be good, but it's just not. It's like, well, if we're not good after 78 episodes, we don't have the potential to be good. So
if anything, it's getting worse.
Move along, my friend. So guys, thank you so much for leaving those 5-star reviews. They mean the world to us. We really appreciate it. It really just keeps going, makes it all worthwhile. But we do have a few other people we'd like to thank real quick. And that is our new patrons. We have 2 new patrons. They are Christine Nedro.
Woo! Christine!
And Patrick Austin.
All right, Patrick.
Guys, thank you so much. Anybody who donates to the show, no matter how frequently, infrequently, big, small, whatever, you are special in our hearts, and we love you so much. If you'd like to learn how you can help keep the lights on, there's 4 lights. 5 lights? 5 lights on. If you'd like to learn how to keep those lights on, you can go to patreon.com/notalonepodcast to learn more. Other than that, you can find me on Twitter at BeerLordElfBane. You can find Jason on Twitter
at
MightyMoit. You can find us on Facebook, Not Alone Podcast. You can join our Facebook group. Remember, we are not alone, a community for the strange. There's something else I am forgetting, I'm sure, but
it's okay. We haven't reestablished those neural pathways yet.
Anyway, it is. It's all felt a little weird and new. I'm sure I'm not forgetting to mention any social media sites, because those are the only ones we use. And even then, we do so sparingly. In any case,
what's Twitter? I've forgotten.
What's a tweet? Crap, what was I going to say? Oh, check out our sponsors. Anybody using our promo codes and hitting those up are helping the show in their own way. If you can't do sponsorship, can't do a review, can't do Patreon, just tell a friend. That's just as good, especially in this spooky month. If someone says, you know, tell me something to give me the creeps, maybe direct them to our Wolfman or a Skinwalker story, something that's really spooky. And yeah, remember to send in those listener stories, notalonepodstories@gmail.com. Send them in by the 23rd, I think I said. It was
yes,
a completely arbitrary date. But we're
not really. It's 2 weeks from now.
I guess that's true. But we're making it happen. So, okay. I'm going to say I did it last week, because I did it solo for 2 weeks because of the...
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so you actually have to do 2 of them right now.
2?
2.
Remember, whether or not this all seems so familiar, or you've misinterpreted yet again, you are
not alone.